Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
He indeed did not stay a baby in Bethlehem's manger. He went on to live a sinless and perfect and righteous life. Well, that's a scary sight. See three of those boys come in. I laugh at myself. I'm telling you what. Christmas trees reminds me of a story, a true story, that involved Brother Andy Daugherty. I called him Thursday morning on the way down to Kentucky. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm sitting in Walmart parking lot." I was like, "Why are you sitting in Walmart parking lot?" He said, "Well," he said, "I bought a $98 tree, and we set it up." It was one of those lit trees. He said, "We set it up, and Liz put all decorations and ornaments on it. Got up the next morning, and the top half, the lights were burned out in it." He says, "So I'm going back to Walmart." I was like, "Well, what are you going to do?" He says, "Well," he said, "the bad thing is I threw the box away. I threw the receipt away." He said, "So I'm going to go back and see if they'll print me off a new receipt." I'm like, "All right." So I let him go. So I call him back a couple hours later. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Walking into Walmart." I said, "Why are you walking into Walmart?" He says, "Well, I'd gotten a tester, electrical tester before to find out what was wrong with it." He said, "The stupid thing, Pastor Dodd, the stupid thing still didn't work." I said, "So what are you doing?" He said, "I'm walking into Walmart with three black garbage bags full of Christmas tree." I'm like, and I said to him, I said, "Andy, you're the reason, Brother Daugherty," I said, "you're the reason they have the Walmart website to make fun of people." I said, "So if you check out that website, you're liable to see Pastor Andy Daugherty standing there." He said he got to the counter, and the lady said, "Well, sir, I really wish you had the box." He said, "Ma'am, so do I." He said, "I was sat and throwing it out. But I'm going to have to teach him the trick. You keep the box because you put the tree in it and you store it in it, right?" He's slow. Pray for Brother Andy. He's slow. But he's not a MacGyver, I tell you that. And now teenagers are like, "Who's MacGyver?" You have no idea. Matthew chapter 1, please. Open your Bibles today, please, to the book of Matthew chapter 1. I've honestly been thinking a lot lately about Christmas, about the Christmas story in the Bible. I do know that often when you, as preachers, when you take a stand that in celebrating of Christmas, there are those that don't, and I respect that. But they also need to understand that indeed, we may not know the exact date. And I'll be honest with you, that's not important to me. And I don't care to know the date. I don't know the date, and I'm not going to tell you I know the date. But again, one thing I said earlier, and I hope to echo the same thoughts, is Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And thank God that he was. And my life has been changed, and so has yours if you've been born again. Our lives have been changed because of a baby born in Bethlehem. What a joy, amen? What a blessing. What an honor to have Christ as personal Savior. If you don't have him as your personal Savior, sweet friend, I promise you before this service is out, we'll give you an opportunity to trust the same Savior that many of us have already trusted. Having your sins forgiven, believing that. You see, the thing about Christ, as I said, he didn't stay a baby. He went on to live a sinless and perfect life, to which at the end of his 33 years on earth, he was crucified. It was outside of Jerusalem. He died on the cross. They took his body down. They buried his body. And on the authority of the Bible, 3 days later, Jesus Christ was resurrected. He came out of the grave alive. The reason he came out of the grave alive is a dead Savior. I don't know who originally said it, but indeed I echo it, that a dead Savior could save no one. But a risen Savior will save anyone who will repent and trust him, believe in the gospel. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Matthew chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Thinking a lot about Christmas lately, and having said that, One of the thoughts that comes to my mind is of several characters that are mentioned in this first Christmas story. Today, we want to look at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. I don't know that I've ever preached a message through the eyes of Joseph. Joseph isn't mentioned hardly at all in the Bible. But when he is mentioned, it's very significant. The Bible tells us about an interesting situation occurring here in verse number 18 and following through the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. If you found it, say, yep, I found it, preacher. All right. Look at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. This just simply means as follows. He's going to tell us now about the birth of Jesus Christ. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, Lord God, we truly are humbled by the reading of your word. We're grateful, Lord, that indeed some 2,000 years ago you were born a baby in Bethlehem's manger. So, Father, we pray now that you'll bless the reading of your word. We pray, God, your Holy Spirit will truly be our teacher, that he'll be our guide. And, Father, we will be grateful for if you meet with us and have your way in this service, which in Christ's name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. When you look at this passage of Scripture, you do not get very far into the verses that we've read this morning to what you don't see that there's a problem in this story. So first of all, I want to call your attention to, notice number one, notice Joseph's painful problem. Joseph's painful problem. The Bible tells us that he and Mary are espoused, they are espoused together. Meaning, to the Jews, it was the betrothal period. It was as if our version, if you will, of an engagement. But here's what's interesting about this. When a couple was engaged, as far as the Jewish custom, it was as if they were married. They hadn't had intimacy. They had not had relationship yet. And that would come once the ceremony, when it was official that they indeed were married. But the Bible tells us that Joseph now, he's come into a little situation. It's not a little situation. It's a big situation. Because a woman, now bear in mind, we're looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of Joseph. But you have to understand, and here's what I thought about this morning in my office, and here's the kind of the thoughts I think that if we're not careful, when we read the Christmas story, and yes, indeed, it's our whole focal point is about the birth of Christ, and we don't ever want to diminish that. That absolutely is the meaning, indeed, of Christmas. Jesus Christ was born of a baby. God came in the form of a baby, and we know that, and we celebrate that. But understand that there's a lot of people that were involved. There were some people that were around in this story that really are significant. Indeed, Joseph is indeed that person. We celebrate Mary, and we're going to look at her next Sunday morning, Christmas through the eyes of Mary. And I know that even in our culture, even in our religious culture, They have exalted Mary. Listen. They have exalted Mary, our religious culture has, to a position that God never intended for her to be exalted to. She said, blessed art thou. When the angel said, you're going to have a baby, blessed art thou. He said, the angel said to her, blessed art thou among women, not above. So we'll look at that next Sunday morning. But Joseph in this passage, I think to myself, because the Bible tells us a little bit about him. When it talks of Jesus later on in his life, it says that he is the carpenter. Is not this the carpenter's son was the observance of Christ. So Joseph, he's a hard worker. We know he's a hardworking man. We know that he's a man that is a man of integrity. He's a man of character. He's a just man, the Bible tells us, even in this passage. He's a man that understands principle. He's a man that understands the sacredness of the marriage union. He is a man that understands it is God's will for he and Mary to remain pure unto their wedding night. He understands all the backdrop. But now, if you will, please allow us to flesh this out and get a hold of this and think of it from the perspective as a human that Joseph was. Here he is. He's engaged to a young girl, a young lady by the name of Mary. She's a virtuous girl. She is a pure girl. She, no doubt, is a lady, a young lady of integrity. She's a young lady that has virtues and morals about her. And by the way, would to God we had a culture that has young men and young women that are virtuous, that are pure, that have integrity, that have character, that are just, and understand that it absolutely is a joy and a blessing to wait till you're married. And by the way, it may not be popular in our culture, but it is a biblical principle that the marriage bed is undefiled. So just kind of hold on to that. But now, so here's Joseph. We're looking at the Christmas story through his eyes. He's engaged to the love of his life. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, because I've been a pastor for a while, and I've never met a couple who got engaged because they hated each other. Now, that comes later to some, right? To some. It's funny that often how marriage can we start out, and honest, and I see this often as a pastor, that they start out, couples start out sitting across from my desk, and then they're so in love, and they're so, the phrase that love is blind, can I get a witness in the building? Amen. And it's often because often in our first counseling sessions, I'll say this. I'll tell me something about your fiance that you like. And oh, they just, the women especially just met. Oh, he's the greatest thing in the world. Preacher. I'm telling you, it's true. Preacher. Look at him. I'm like, yeah. Looks like a dork to me, but anyway, no. I'm just kidding, especially to those who are in counseling right now. I'm just kidding, all right? I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about the other church down the road to people. But anyway, preacher, look at him. He's the greatest. Well, sir, tell me something about your fiance. What do you like about her? And then he gets emotional. And he's like, greatest woman on the planet. I didn't realize, Pastor, that I didn't know how to properly dress myself until I met this woman. Let me tell you something, boys. That lasts the rest of your life. But then I'll do this in the second session. So I give them often some assignments, and I'll say, well, you know, do this. So they come back in, and I'll say, okay, last week, the last session, I asked you to tell me something you loved about them. Now tell me something you don't like about them, right? They start off like, oh, but then it happens. Reality comes in, and I have to move my chair from this side of the desk to in between them, right? So I go from counselor now to referee. So, and I, well, tell me something you don't like about it. And you say, preacher, why do you do that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, please understand, the attitude that marriage is a fairy tale is a lie from hell. Amen? You say, but preacher, I'm marrying my knight in shining armor. Let me just go on record and tell you something. Your knight in shining armor, that flat stomach, that's going to change. Right? It's going to change. And probably within 10 years, you'll go from a knight in shining armor to a 200 or perhaps even more couch that belches and passes gas. Right? Because I can't believe you said that. All right. Not because I know from experience, but they tell me and the members of the church down the road that that happens. You say, well, pastor, yeah, but you say, what's the point? The point is, I don't know who it was that said this, that marriage is made in heaven. That's true. But so is thunder and lightning, right? And sometimes marriage, and let me just say, a lot of times, marriage isn't easy. It takes work. It takes dedication. And also, let me say this to you. You say, yeah, but, and I'll ask couples this when they're in my office. I'll say, well, do you guys fight a lot? And if they say to me, oh, we fight like cats and dogs, I'll say this to them. You have no idea. Because what you do now in your dating life, when you get married, you better multiply that by 1,000, brother. Oh, man. The sound man just woke up back there. Danny, that wasn't a good place to say amen. But I appreciate it, brother. Park there a while is what he meant to say. Come on, tell it, preacher. You say, well, pastor, why? Because when you're dating and you have your little, we call them spats, right? Your teenager's like, what's a spat? You have your fight, all right? You argue a little. Or you have your argument. And guess what happens when you're dating? You can go to your separate corners. Come on, brother, right? When you get married, she follows you to your corner. Right? Brother Bill, I'm a peaceful man. I'm a gentle giant. And when I say, I don't want to talk about it, I really mean that. Ain't good enough for a woman. Woman's like, not only are you going to talk about it, you're going to talk about it right now. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Well, you won't get to sleep. Let's talk about it. Right? Come on. And again, I don't know from experience, but Brother Bill tells me that's the way it is. I'm saying all that to say this. You all right there, brother? I have been looking and spying on you, a lot of people in this room, because apparently we've kind of, all right. Marriage isn't easy. It takes a lot of work. Now, let's flesh this out. Fellas, how would you feel if all of a sudden the girl you're engaged to that is the love of your life is now pregnant? She's with child. So now let's think of Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. Mary all of a sudden now is with child. And the Bible tells us that Joseph, he honestly thought about divorcing her. The Bible tells us this. And see, honestly, I've never preached the sermon necessarily through the eyes of Joseph, but again, look at the text. So Joseph's, his painful problem, verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. When the Bible says before they came together, they had not had sexual relationships yet. And by the way, it's God's will for it to be that way.
You say, yeah, but our culture, preacher, we bought into a lie that says in order for us to truly know people, we've got to get together. No, friend, if you truly love the individual, you understand that there are some things worth waiting for, and your life will be blessed if you're a child of God. Your life will be tremendously blessed if we don't do it the way of the world, we do it the way of God's Bible. So the Bible tells us, specifically says to us, that Mary, indeed, she is a virgin girl. Joseph and Mary, they had not had intimacy yet. And verse 18 says, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, to the Jews, they were always as if they were already married. They were already given to each other, but they hadn't had the answer. They were looked upon as indeed, that's a couple. And Joseph says, the Bible tells us, Joseph, her husband, look what kind of a man of character that he is. And ladies, please hear me this morning. Young ladies, you make sure that you marry the one God wants you to marry. Didn't say amen right there. And fellas, you make sure you marry the one God wants you to have. You say, yeah, but pastor, all right, let me help you here. Oh, I got to say this. Pastor, I know there's a lot of things that I don't necessarily like about him. But pastor, I can change it. Really? Are you kidding me? Leslie squeezed the tube of toothpaste in the middle before we got married, and she still does that. It's really offensive to me. So I have my own tube. Amen? And if I leave it on the bathroom counter, she squeezes that one in the middle. Finally, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, it's apparent only you can change this woman about squeezing the tube. And yes, I eat my cereal and I still have that silver metal bowl. Yeah, still have that. It's normal. And for all you rookies at eating cereal, I'm not a rookie. Amen. Don't say it, Stephen. When you eat cereal, my daughter's finally given, and she agrees with me on this. When you eat cereal, it's absolutely of necessity. Right, Amanda? It's of a necessity. Brian's crying. Hey, Brother Stephen, reach over and hold his hand, will you, brother? It's normal to push every piece of cereal under the milk. You got to baptize each piece. Right? True story. I'm not making this up. My kids will prove this. Hey, Freddie, how you doing, buddy? Leslie, she sat next to me, as she always does. We're in love. And I'm sitting in my recliner, minding my own business. Bill, minding my own business, Brother Tommy. Minding my own business. Watching my soap opera of choice, which is ESPN. I'm against soap operas. But anyway, so I'm pushing on. And finally, I didn't say a word to Leslie. I'm telling you, a demon had attacked her. And she said, she turned. And I didn't turn, but I could feel her burning a hole in the side of my head. And she said, very daintily, will you eat your cereal? Will you just eat it? I'm like, what's wrong with you, you crazy woman? By the way, the phrase crazy woman is a term of endearment in our house, all right? I can't believe you call her that. Well, you can't. You won't believe what she calls me. Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. Here's a woman he loves. Here's a woman now that he wants to spend the rest of his life with. Here's the woman, and I believe it's fair to say this. Here's a woman that he would die for. You'll never die for him, guys, unless you live for him. A woman he will die for comes and perhaps sets him down and says, Joseph, honey, we got to talk. Babe, what is it? I mean, Your dad gave the herd of cattle to your dad. I mean, right? He gave the dowry. You know, we've got this all arranged and family is coming in. I mean, what is it? Joseph, please flesh this out with me. Joseph, I have a baby on the way. There's no doubt in my mind. His heart sunk. There's no doubt in my mind. He perhaps became emotional, maybe got angry. What's he going to do now? The Bible tells us, and I said this to you a moment ago, verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Joseph thought about, well, I'm so thankful to God for this passage of Scripture. Joseph thought about divorcing her. Wow. But he's a just man. What's he going to do? Think with me for a moment. Let's flesh this out, guys. Please hear me. Let's get down and walk around in this text for a moment. The perfect imagery of marriage that he had right now was shattered. The fantasy riding off into the sunset, the proverbial riding off into the sunset together, or the fairy tale, they lived happily ever after, was shattered and gone. What's he going to do? That's his painful problem. You know, I think sometimes, fellas, many try to portray that we're rough and tough and nothing gets to us and nothing hurts us. The only problem with that, we're lying to ourselves. God's made us creatures that desire community. God's made us creatures that desire to want to be around. And God's made us creatures that desire to want to go through life with somebody that you can share it with. And that's this Joseph. His plans are now a little different. His plans are now, well, I don't want to hurt Mary, so I'll do it privately. I don't want to make a public example of her. I don't want to stand across with my attorney and her attorney and us fight this out in court. I want to do it privately. But notice not only his painful problem, notice something else in this passage. This is an incredible story. I mean, can you imagine Joseph maybe saying to her, let's flesh this out. Please hear my heart. Let's flesh this out. Mary, have you been unfaithful to me? Mary, I thought I was the love of your life. Joseph, I have been faithful to you. Please believe me. Often marriages are on the downward spiral and downward slide when couples begin to in a place where there's no trust anymore. Fellas, hear my heart. Trust is a very viable and a very, very absolutely worth its weight in gold commodity in a marriage. And when trust is broken, if trust gets broken, it may take the rest of your marriage to build it back. But it's worth it, right? So Joseph, Mary, have you? No, honey, I promise. You're the love of my life. You're the love of my life. But Joseph, please understand, you remember, we're Jews, and you remember for 4,000 years that a Messiah is coming. Yeah, I know that. Now you're going to preach at me, woman? Joseph, the baby that I'm carrying, it's of God. Now be a man for a moment. You think he was buying into that story? I don't think he was. You see, sometimes we can read the Bible and we don't think it out. We don't flesh it out. We don't look at it through the eyes of the humans that are in the backdrop of this story. But that's the backdrop. We see his problem as it develops, continues to develop. The Bible tells us, verse 19 says, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Secretly. That's Joseph's painful problem. Let me ask you a question. Do you think his heart was breaking? Sure it was. Do you think his heart and maybe his emotions, and I don't know, and I'm not trying to be extra biblical, I'm not trying to add to the text. Please understand that. But do you think maybe he's rehearsing all throughout his mind something like this? I'll never trust another woman. I'll never trust her again. You see, and by the way, let me say this to you. The only way that trust will be brought back into this relationship, stay with me. The only way for trust to be brought back into that relationship was for God to do something supernatural. You this morning that are on the verge maybe of divorce, God can still do something supernatural in that marriage. You say, yeah, but Pastor, we've grown so apart, we don't even talk anymore. You know what? God can still work. God can still do something miraculous. Let's get through this. Notice number two. Notice the angel's proclamation. Notice the angel's proclamation, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, and again, as we walk in the text, to all the men in this room, what do you think he's thinking about? Paul, what do you think he's thinking about? What do you think is going through his mind right now? You think he's thinking she's lied to him? You think he's thinking that he's wasted his life in this relationship? You think he's thought, man, she's not the girl that I really thought she was? That's the backdrop. But thankfully to God, God has a way, even in the midst of situations like that, God has a way of speaking encouragement into your heart. Look at verse 20. So while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. And by the way, thank God for that phrase, fear not, in the Bible. You say, yeah, but Pastor, I mean, we're not marrying Joseph, but our marriage has problems. Let me just say something to you. Every marriage has problems. You know, let me tell you why. Because God takes a sinner man and a sinner woman, and he brings them together and puts them in a household, and they often reproduce little sinners. Right? Don't you talk about my grandbabies. They're sinners. Not my kids. One's down the street. We all have sinful natures, and that sinful nature, I'm telling you before God, that sinful nature wants to rule and reign my life and your life. But we as God's people that have been born again must understand that we must allow God to bring this sinful nature and the appetites of this sinful nature under the lordship of Jesus Christ, submitting to his rule, submitting to his authority. So now we see the angel comes to Joseph, and he says to Joseph, fear not. What do you think Joseph felt when he heard that? You think maybe Joseph in his mind, as he's pondering all this, and he's rehearsing all this, and he's going back through his mind, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going back through every aspect of his relationship with Mary. And he's playing it over and over and over, and he's rehearsing it over and over and over in his mind. And the angel says, fear not. And maybe Joseph thinks, what do you mean, fear not? He doesn't say it out loud. But maybe as a man, he's thinking that. But notice as it continues on. Fear not. Look at it now. To take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In a dream, God often, the Bible had not been completed yet. So God often would speak audibly. He often would speak through dream. And he does that in Joseph's life. Oh, by the way, did I not tell you in the Bible declare that Joseph's a just man? He's a man of integrity. He's a man of character. He's pure young people. He's godly young people. He's a man that understands that serving Jesus Christ, serving God with all of your heart, it's worth doing that. And it's worth honoring. Listen, it's worth honoring God in your relationships. It's worth it. God will bless it. Is it easy? No, I never said it was easy. We live in a sinful world. So the angel says, Joseph, don't fear, man. The baby that's in her womb, God did that. The cause of Mary's conception is of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 21. Not only the cause of her conception, notice the character of the little baby. The character of the little child that's in her womb. Notice what the angel says about the baby. Verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou, underline that, thou, you, Joseph, she will bring forth a son. It's a son that the Holy Ghost of God had placed in her womb. She is just simply a vessel. She's just simply the carrier through whom God brings the Savior into the world. So Joseph, don't fear to take her into a wife. Take her to wife. Everything that she says to you, Joseph, is truthful. You can believe her story. Fellas, so many times marriages get in trouble when the communication, you've heard it for decades, communication, 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 it absolutely is critical in marriage. Being able to communicate, being able to talk, being able to, you know, often in marriage, I started to go in a different direction, but because of the crowd, I'm going to be careful on what I say there, but marriage isn't easy, but it indeed is worth it. I promise you on the authority of the Bible, it indeed is worth it. You honor God, you honor Christ. You say, yeah, but preacher, you have no idea where our marriage is right now. That may be the case, but you honestly, I don't think you have an idea of how powerful God is and what God can do in a situation. God may show up. Listen, God may show up in your heart. God may show up as you read his word and just simply say, fear not, into your life. I know you've been thinking about divorce. That's what Joseph was thinking about. Right? He's thinking about putting her away. He loves her. But here's the conflict. Here's the conflict. Joseph's conflict was between the law and his love. The law says, put her away. The law says, if she's cheated on you, she deserves death. The law says, she's to be stoned to death. If this is true. But there's something powerful about love. There's something powerful about this love. He loves her. And I'm going to say this. He not only loves her, Brother Stephen, he loves her. Fellas, look up here. He loves her unconditionally. Wow. Wow. That's a big deal. I've said to you, I've done a lot of weddings. I've never, ever in my ministry done a wedding where a couple comes down here and they get ready to do their vows and they look across from each other and say, I hate your guts. But they do it through divorce. What happens? You see, a preacher, there's hurt. Listen, I understand that life often happens. But in the context of this passage, there's no doubt in my mind that Joseph thought, perhaps thought even ill will of Mary. The law. He understood Jewish law. He understood Jewish custom. He understood, let's flesh it out. He understood that he perhaps would have to go home to mom and dad and tell mom and dad what was happening. He understood culture. He understood the stigma that now would be over Mary. That's what the law brought. But all the love was holding on to him. Couples, listen to your preacher this morning. Yes, there's the law. And God's given it. But hold on to love. And oh, did I tell you That love's not an emotion. It is emotional, but it's not emotion. It's a choice. I hear people say, "I just fell in love with her." No, you did not. Don't you dare lie. "Oh, I just fell in love with him." You're a liar. Here's what you did. Here's what you did, sir. Here's what you did, ma'am. You chose not to love him anymore. That's what you did. Right? So Joseph, he's making a choice. He's making a choice. An angel appears to him and says, "Fear not, Joseph. She told you the truth. The baby in her womb, the child that she's carrying, you're not the daddy, Joseph. God is the daddy. God placed him in there. You take her to wife." Notice this passage. This is phenomenal, man. Look at this text. Verse 20, 21. I about shouted when I saw this. "And she shall," Mary, "shall bring forth a son. And thou," Joseph, "you are going to name him. Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Why, Joseph? "For he shall save his people from their sins." The name Jesus was an ordinary name in Bible times. The Old Testament equivalent of the name Jesus it was Joseph. But from this point on, the name Jesus would not be an ordinary name. The name Jesus would be a name that is exalted above every name. The Bible goes on. We'll finish the text and we're done. "All this was done," verse 22, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Look at verse 24. Here's the kind of man that Joseph was. He's not only a man that has a very painful problem in his life. He hears an announcement, a proclamation from an angel, but we see his personal decision now. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to make a personal decision, just like Joseph. Joseph makes a personal decision that love is more important than law. The Bible says, verse 24, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." That is a powerful verse. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Brother Stephen, he didn't do what his emotions were telling him to do. He didn't do what his thought processes were telling him to do. He did what the angel, oh, by the way, not just any angel, an angel of the Lord had bidden him to do. When it comes to marriage, don't go by emotion. You know why emotions change. Right, men? Say, don't amen it real loud. When emotions around marriages, they go high, they go low. They go high, they go low. You don't go by emotion. You don't even maybe go by the thought process in your mind when it comes through trial and when it comes through marital difficulty. You must go by the choice of love and according to the Word of God. When you stood at this altar, you made a commitment. You made a covenant with that person and the God that you serve. You chose to do that. Joseph, as I said, the Jews looked on Mary and Joseph's relationship as a married couple. They hadn't had the ceremony yet, but as a married couple. A ceremony would last perhaps a week sometimes. They hadn't been, as far as the ceremony is concerned, but as far as the Jews were concerned, they were married. So Joseph, and look at verse 24, "being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Can you see that? Do you flesh it out? Ladies, stay with your pastor. Can you see Joseph getting up in the morning, getting up from the dream, runs to Mary? It's different now. You say, and by the way, Joseph illustrates a very, very important principle, ladies, that often if you'll let men sleep on things, they wake up in the morning a different person. Can I get a witness in the building? But if you want an argument, honey, I'll give you an argument, right? Right? So he wakes up and I can see him. He runs. Maybe he runs back to Mary. And he takes her by her hand. And he says, "Babe, I'm in this for the long haul. We're in this together. And with God, all things are possible." Amen? Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. As you're standing, I'll read the final verse. The Bible says, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." The amazing miracle of the story, not only was a Savior brought into the world, and Mary was used as a vessel of that. Joseph and Mary would later on, after the Christ child come, would later on, they indeed would have their marriage ceremony. There's no doubt they would have their marriage ceremony. It was a celebration. But they also would have more children. They would have more kids. I know that's a punch in the stomach to many religious thoughts in our culture. Mary did not stay Virgin Mary. She went on to have more babies. The invitation today is this. If you're here and you never trusted Christ, maybe today would be the first time in your life that you would trust in the Savior of the world, repenting of your sins and by faith believing that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. And if you'll call upon him to save you in repentance and faith, he'll save you. He'll change your life. That's the invitation. The rest of the invitation is this. Maybe you're here today and as a married couple, man, you want to really bring turmoil into a marriage. It happens a lot of times during the Christmas season when one spouse or the other, and it's not always the woman, it sometimes is the man, one spouse or the other starts getting on a spending spree and you want to cause problems in marriage. You know, you realize money is often a huge contributor to divorce rates in our country. Fighting over money. Maybe today during invitation you would, as a couple, maybe just there in the quietness of your pew, just reach over and grab the hand of your mate and just say, "Hey, I'm in it for the long haul. We're going to make it. We're going to make this work. We're not going to go by law that says you can put them away for anything. We're going to go by love, man. We're going to make a conscious choice that we're going to love each other and we're going to get through this and we're going to honor Jesus Christ in doing it." Amen? Do you think Joseph and Mary did not get the stares of all the community? Sure they did. Do you not think maybe some in Joseph and Mary's families, individual families, thought, "Man, I can't believe he's married her"? Do you think some in their family said that marriage will never work? Sure there was. Prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. Stay in for the long haul. You come as we sing. What's the number, Brother Stephen?
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.